But Revelation 21 in your Bible this morning, 21st chapter, book of Revelation, which is the next to last chapter in the Bible. So all the way back to chapter 21, first four verses. This morning, this we know, part number 7, probably next Sunday morning, part number 8. And that'll wrap it up for these summer Sundays as we've been on this short series on the subject of this we know. I will not take the time to introduce how we got started on this and the purpose for it because of the lack of time this morning. Let's stand together, please. We're reading the first four verses in this chapter. If you join me on 2 and 4, actually the first five verses, you join me on the even ones, please. We're reading now Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he wrote, and he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. The fellows are going to sing after I pray one last time, and then we'll jump into the message. Dear Father, give us grace this morning. Lord, a little shorter on time than normally, so I'll need your wisdom, please, especially today, to know where to linger, what to pass over, what to say and not to say. Speak to our hearts, O God. Thank you for these things that we know from your book in these times of uncertainty. There are so many things that we know, and we're glad about that. Bless today's message in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated, please.
Is it nothing to you that heaven's King came down to this world of woe, and that he suffered and bled and rose from the dead, that eternal no. Is it nothing to you that grace is free, and that God in his love doth all? Is it nothing to you? Is it nothing to you?
Thank you, men. I appreciate that good song for us this morning. I want you to look at verse number 1. We're going to take this thought today for our text and talk a little bit about it. And I saw, this is John speaking now, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. This we know. This we know. Things that we know in these uncertain days. Things that we know not because of the circumstances that are going on around us. Things that we know based on the truths of this book right here. We're going to talk about one such thing that we know this morning. Dear Father, I pray that You'll please now speak to our hearts again. I ask for Your complete guidance and wisdom in preaching the message this morning. Thank You so much for the folks that are here, both members and visitors. Speak to us, help us, bless us in Jesus' name, and amen. As we live in or approach pre-tribulation days, the Bible makes it very clear that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It's going to get worse, folks, as far as evil men and their influence and seducers. Now, it's no secret that we live in a corrupt... And by the way, I think demonic activity will become more visible. I think rebellion through demonic activity, through rebellion, will become more visible. We'll see this like we've never seen it before, according to what the Bible says. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We live in a corrupt world, ruled more often than not by corrupt people. I mean, in all nations, at all levels of whatever government is in place in the country, there are corrupt individuals posing as honest and righteous and just while living a life that is quite opposite. Now, just this week, we've been exposed to two more in Senator John Edwards. And I'm not nailing Democrats here. Republicans have had as many of their problems as the Democrats have had when it comes to this. This Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick up in Detroit has been in jail. He's the mayor. Now, how would you like that? Your mayor's in jail. Oh, let's see the mayor. He's in jail. Sorry. Huh? And yet, you know, he's going to just keep being the mayor and so forth and so on. And then you got this guy up here in Chicago whose whole block's out of electricity, but ComEd delivers him a generator and sets it up in his house. He's gone. He's gone. Amen. He's done. He's gone. So, that's wild. It's crazy. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's federal, local, state. Doesn't matter. You got corrupt people posing as these honest and righteous and true public servants. Doesn't that just bless your heart? Living lives that are just the opposite. And I'm not making fun of all of them. Thank the Lord for decent ones. And we've got a good mayor in this town, and I praise God for Mayor Latham. He's a good fellow. Saved man. Goes to church. But anyway, those are just the ones to come out in public this week. Now, when Jesus comes to set up His kingdom, that kind of nonsense will come to an end, friend. Until then, we realize that God rules in the kingdom of men, and He gives it to whomsoever He will, including giving it sometimes to the basest of men, He says. That's what He does. Now, the thought of 1,000 years of rule by Jesus Christ, who is the true, righteous, and just, you know, the true, righteous, just, and honest King, that thought is a pleasant one indeed. Too bad it only lasts for 1,000 years. Talked about that a couple weeks ago. But then after that short season, when Satan is released, and after the great white throne judgment we talked about last Sunday, we know something else is taught from the Bible. You see it in verse number 1 here. God says, John saw a new heaven and a new earth. After that great white throne judgment, a new heaven and a new earth will be ours to enjoy. And can I say this? That will have no end. All right? We're talking about the state of eternity future here. All right? We're not talking about 1,000-year reign or 5,000-year reign or 10,000-year reign. Now, we're moving into the state of eternity future. A new heaven and a new earth. Now, I was going to have you turn, but we're short on time this morning. I was going to have you turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. If you'd like to take notes, write down 2 Peter 3, 11 through 13. Because in that passage, we learn, and from other passages, that God is going to destroy the current heaven and the current earth. Now, He made a promise way back in Genesis chapter 7 or 8 that He would never again destroy the world by water. Okay? This time, the Bible says He's going to destroy the world with heat, intense heat, fervent heat. It'll be a melting, a dissolving of the elements, if you will. Okay? So God is going to destroy the current heaven and the current earth. And then verse number 1 as well as verse number 13 in 2 Peter 3 tell us that we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. And I want to point out three things that we know about this new heaven and this new earth from the text this morning in Revelation chapter 21. First of all, number 1, we know this. God will dwell with us. Look at verse number 3. If you get anything out of this verse, you get the fact that God's going to dwell with us. Look at it. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." And I said to us this morning, friend, God surely loves His people. You say, "Well, I don't see any mention of love in these verses, preacher." Well, I see a lot of mention of love in there. Because you want to be with people you love. You know, I enjoyed Mexico, but I couldn't wait to get home. And I don't mean just to my physical family. Getting home to my wife and children was great. Man, when I saw them coming around the corner in that vehicle coming to pick me up, they just, and they're hanging out the windows. "Dad, Dad." Not the one who was driving, thankfully. She was behind the wheel. But they're all hanging out the windows, and you know, there's nothing like that. And there's nothing like getting back to this pulpit. I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather preach to the 300 I preach to in this auditorium, 325 sometimes, on Sunday morning and Sunday night, than I would 3,500 folks in Mexico, because I love you folks. I love them in a way too. But not like I love you. And I want to be with you. Contrary to what you think these last Wednesday nights, I want to be with you, all right? I do. That's the truth. And God will be with us. He'll be with us. Look what the Bible says. "Behold, the tabernacle." You know what the word tabernacle means? It means habitation. The habitation of God is with men. Do you see that? Now look, folks, the habitation of God is not with us right now. He dwells in heaven. He sits on His throne high and lifted up, Isaiah said. Okay? But in this day and age, this new heaven and this new earth, God's habitation, His dwelling place, His tabernacle is going to be with us. Look at what it says. He will dwell with them. The word means to reside. God will reside with us. And then a third time in the same verse, God Himself shall be with them. Three times in the same verse, God emphasizes that He will dwell. He'll live with His people. Now you compare that to other false deities. And by the way, don't get tired of us saying this. Brother Caleb's been bringing out in the bus meeting that a lot of the new curriculums in the public school, and also not just the curriculums in the public school, but also reading material that's coming out today, like the Harry Potter series. You've got that book in your house, you better burn it, throw it in the trash, get it out. It is trash. And then some other stuff called the Golden Compass. That replaces God with authority. Whoever you choose your authority to be, that's your God. I'm going to tell you something. And Sunday school teachers, of course, I preach, they're teaching right now. But if you have any influence, bus captains and teachers over these young people who are in public schools or who ride our buses to church, you make sure that you identify the one true God this way. How do we know that, who the one true God is? He had a son named Jesus and a book called the Bible. If he doesn't have a son named Jesus and a book called the Bible, he's a false God. Mark that down, Muslim. You serve a false God. Okay? Because no. It's one true God. Had a son named Jesus, and He had a book called the Bible. Now, you think about all these other false deities. Is there any other false deity who desires to be with His people? Most deities are pictured to be aloof and remove from their people, a recluse almost, hidden away and unapproachable, but not the one true God. His great desire is to dwell with those who belong to Him. Live with us. That's a big difference. Dwell with us. Now, He has already done so much for us in this New Testament day and age. We have the Spirit of God who lives in us. We have access to the throne of God through the opportunity of prayer. We have the book of God to teach us about Him. We have the church of God to fellowship and serve and give and work. But folks, it only, and those are great things. I'm not minimizing the Spirit of God's indwelling person. I'm not minimizing the book of God. I'm not minimizing the church of God. I'm not minimizing closing, whatever else I said there in that little run up, the book of God, the access to the throne of God. I'm not minimizing all of those things, but I'm simply saying to us this morning, if you're a child of God, what's good right now only gets better. It only gets better. You know the little song we used to sing, "Oh, the best is yet to come when I walk through heaven's gate." That's not just a happy song. That's a reality. The best is yet to come. It only gets better for us. Because of sin in this present world, our fellowship with God is hot and cold. Would you say amen to that? You honestly say that? I honestly say that. My fellowship with God is hot and cold. In fact, sometimes it's lukewarm. So you're the pastor. I don't care what tag you put on me. I'm a man. We got an old filthy nature like everybody else. The bulk of our problems don't even come from Satan and the world. The bulk of our problems come from us. Devil gets too much credit. He gets too much blame. Worst enemy I have is the face I shave in the mirror every morning. So I shouldn't just quit shaving. That might be the answer right there. Amen. Huh? Yeah. That's not true. My fellowship with God is hot and cold, sometimes lukewarm, because of my old nature, because of the curse of sin in this world, because of the temptations that Satan throws my way and your way. But friend, understand at this point, the point we're reading about right now, all sin has been removed, the curse of sin has been lifted, and Satan is banished to the lake of fire forever and ever. I'm simply saying there is nothing left to hinder our fellowship with God. There'll be nothing to hide my face from His. Amen and amen. In fact, Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 4 or 5 over there somewhere says, "And they shall see His face." Nothing will hinder the reality of His presence. Nothing will darken the brightness of His light. Sin is gone. The curse is gone. Satan is gone. Look at 1 John. Hold your finger right there. Let me take a moment. Take it. 1 John chapter 1. Look what John said here. And then put this together with Revelation 21. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 5. Notice what it says here about fellowship. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. This is what John wrote. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light," "and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Let me ask you a question. You'll have to answer out loud this morning, respond out loud. There's probably many of you in this room who knows what it means. You know what it means to have fellowship with God now. Okay? I'm not putting myself up as some great Christian. But there are times when I'm in good fellowship with God. You ever get there? It's there. You know it. There's that tug on the other end of the line. You're walking in the light. I mean, God's presence is just so real. Fellowship. It's wonderful. But you know what about that fellowship? It gets interrupted. You know who it gets interrupted by? Me. God never moves. Gets hindered by me. Gets broken by me. It gets impeded by me. It gets interrupted by me. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If, that's a big if. If we get there, we can enjoy that fellowship now. But do you understand, friend, in this day, the day of a new heaven and a new earth, there is no sin, there is no darkness, there is no old nature. It's going to be uninterrupted, unhindered, unimpeded, unbroken fellowship with God, walking in His light forever and ever and ever and ever. Our faces open with each other forever. Amen. I love that. That's the new heaven. I heard a story some years ago about a young boy, 6, 7, 8, 9 years of age, whose mother passed away from sickness. And of course, he loved his mother. He's a broken-hearted little boy, like any boy would be, losing a mother at that age. And of course, his dad's still there, and they went through the funeral process and the burial and all the emotions of that traumatic time. And that dad, so concerned, his own heart grieving and broken, and that dad so concerned about the well-being of his son. And that night they got ready for bed, and the dad just decided, you know, I'm not going to put this boy to bed by himself. And he put the boy in the bed with him, just in case the little boy started to have trouble, and he wanted to be there to comfort the little guy. And the boy was doing okay. And they were laying quietly there for several minutes after the lights were out. When all of a sudden, he heard the voice of his little son say, Daddy, is your face turned toward mine? And the dad was laying on his side, and the little boy over here, and he said, well, yes, son, it is. But why? And the little boy responded, because, Daddy, if your face is turned toward mine, everything will be all right. And glory to God, friend. Hallelujah. Do you understand? We're going to live in an eternal state of everything being all right, because there will be nothing to hinder our face from Him. He'll dwell with us. His dwelling place will be with us. We'll walk in that light. And that life throughout all of eternity future, we can enjoy a little taste of that right now. Good fellowship, sweet fellowship, the reality of His presence. But then you know what it is? It's like the songwriter wrote, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. That won't happen, friend, in eternity. We won't be prone to do anything but fellowship with Jesus Christ, fellowship with God. That's eternal state. That new heaven and a new earth. God will dwell with His people. Number two, let me say this morning, not only that God will dwell with His people, but God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. Look at verse number 4. You know it's right there in front of you. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. All the bad former things that caused tears will be removed from this new heaven and new earth. Hey, as a parent, you don't ever enjoy seeing your children cry. Ever. You don't ever enjoy seeing your children in pain. You don't ever enjoy seeing your children with the tears streaming down their faces. That never is an enjoyable thing. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Isn't it interesting to you that the very first thing God says about this new heaven after He says that He'll dwell with us, the very first thing He's going to do when He starts to dwell with us is take away all the things that cause us tears. Look at what He says, first of all. There'll be no more death. You guys that were in Sunday school this morning, there's nothing more disturbing in life than death. And I don't know if you've heard or not, I got back Thursday afternoon. The family picked me up, and we got back late Thursday afternoon to the house, and the light was flashing on the machine. And they went to push it, and it was Maud Liga's voice, and she just asked if they could call. And if you haven't heard, she lost the baby on Thursday. Boy, you talk about such an emotional just... So many years of not having a baby, and then praying, and God giving Marty and Maud little Megan. And then, you know, God give us another one, and God give us another one. Megan's 13. And Marty and Maud and I talked in the office several weeks ago when this all came out, you know. And Marty said, Pastor, he said, really, he said, we had really come to grips and just come to rest that we had one child, and it was okay. And then to find out you're going to have another one, and then to lose it. And in talking with them, tears. Tears. Like, I don't care what death it is. If it's the death of an unborn child, or if it's the death of an aged mother, death causes heartache.
And God says, I don't want my children to hurt anymore. So I'm going to take away the thing that causes hurt. I don't know if you visited the Lockwoods in your mind this past week or not, but I did. Every first week of August, I visit them in my mind. And relive again that boy's home going. And God says the first thing He's going to do when He dwells with, when I come to live with you, I'm going to take away the thing that causes you trouble. I'm going to take away the thing that causes you tears. No more death. No more sorrow. No more of those phone calls. Pastor, what do I do? God says, I'm going to take all that away. No more crying. An outcry of grief. No more pain. All the things that cause the tears to flow from your ducts and down your cheek and fall on the... Brother Shaver over here. How old were you, Brother Shaver? How old were you when Dad went on to... 16, 5 years ago, Brother Shaver's dad went to heaven. As a 16-year-old boy, had to go through that. And the tears that were shed. 16-year-old boys don't normally lose their daddies to death. Cancer took him. Heart attack, that's right. Heart attack took Mike Shaver. You named after your dad? Yeah. God says, when I come to live with you, the first thing He's going to do, when we're to live with Him forever, He's going to take away all those things that cause the tears to roll down our cheeks. Glory to God. We'll never cry again for sorrow. Never cry again for death. It'll all be wiped away. The new heaven, the new earth, God will dwell with us. Number two, He'll wipe away all the tears from our eyes. I'm out of time. I don't have anything else to say about that. Any time more to say anything else? Let me say this morning. Number three, this new heaven, this new earth, what do we know? God will make all things new. Look at verse 5. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. A new heaven, a new earth. The order of our lives right now will be new. And what's it going to be like in the eternal state? I don't know. He's going to make all things new. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't you enjoy new things? Don't lie. We enjoy new things. New this, new that. It's fun to get a new toothbrush at the dentist office. Hey, listen, they clean my teeth. You want a toothbrush? I always take it. Sure. I do wear them out once in a while. It'd be a good thing for some of you to try, you boys. Amen. It'd be a good thing to wear out a toothbrush. I got the same toothbrush I had when I was 6. I like new stuff. They give me a new tube of toothpaste, new toothbrush. Take the floss. My wife uses the floss. I don't floss. That's what they make toothpicks for. It's a lot more manly to chew a toothpick than a floss. I'm joking. I like new stuff. I was out for my exercise this morning. Were you out early? Was it a glorious morning? Oh, good night. It felt like fall. I heard some geese honking. I saw a 20-point buck. No, I'm just teasing. That was in my dreams. No. It was like fall out there, man. It was good. The sun was bright. I was looking up at the trees, taking my walk. They're green as green could be. The background of that blue sky and looking across those fields that I was just going. And then it dawned on me, this is between 6,000 and 7,000 years old. I'm sorry if you've been influenced by the university. It's not 10 billion years old. It's not 10 million years old. It's not even 10,000 years old. Somebody sold you a wooden nickel. Threw you a curveball. You swung and missed and swallowed it. This place is not billions of years old. That's ridiculous. But it is between 6,000 and 7,000 years old. And as pretty as it was this morning, Brother Bragg, I knew I was going to preach the sermon, and I was kind of praying and talking to the Lord and thinking about the message, and I got to thinking, this is 6,000 to 7,000 years old. What's it going to be like when it's new? It might get some of you Baptists to say amen. It just might. You might show a little bit of emotion someday. That'll be a blessing. Something new. He's going to make all things new. You know, man, God has given us many new things right now. Psalm number 40 and verse number 3, He gave us a new song. Yeah, He did. Isaiah 62, 2, He gave us a new name when we got saved. In Lamentations 3, the Bible says His compassions are new every morning. New compassion. Not left over, not remaining from the day before, but at 12:00 a.m., God's compassion is new every morning. How about that? He's given us, Matthew 26:28, a new testament. He's given us, in John 13:34, a new commandment. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, He's made us a new creature or new creation. In Ephesians 4:24, we have a new man if we're saved. In Revelation 3:12, we're going to see a new Jerusalem, be a part of it. God is in the business of making new things. And all that we enjoy right now is 6,000 to 7,000 years old. And one of these days, He said, I'm going to make all things new. And then if we didn't believe it, He told the angel, He said, write it down. Kind of like put it in writing. You ever made a promise to somebody and they said, put it in writing? Look at what He said. He said, write, for these words are true and faithful. It may be more than you can believe, friend. So write it down. Put it in writing. I'll stick to my word. These words are true and faithful. I am going to come live with my people. I'm going to take away all the things that cause them heartache and tears. And I'm going to make all things around them brand new. Yeah. Write it down. Hey, good. Then He signed His name to it. God. Say, where do you see that? Verse 5. Write, for these words are true. God is what? He's true. And faithful. God is faithful. God signed His name to it. Now let me ask you a question. You want to miss out on this? Do you want to miss out on this? Do you want to miss out on an eternal state where God comes to live with His people and He takes away all things out of life that cause heartache and tears and grief and cause the tears to stream down our face? He takes all of those things away, never to experience them again, and He makes all things new. You're not going to get along with things that are 7,000 to 8,000 years old now because we've had a 1,000-year reign. I'm going to make all things brand new. That's what's ahead for the child of God. You may not live in a mansion now. You may drive an old clunker now. Things may be a little tight now. You may weep now. There may be sin and trouble now. But brother, if you're saved, you're headed for a better day. I'm not trying to pump you up with some kind of psychological babble. He said, these things are true and faithful. Write it down. I'll sign my name to it. It's going to happen. So the only question is, will you be there? Will you be there? Because if you're not there, I'm going to tell you where the only other place you can be. And it's so startling, folks, it's sickening. It's gone. Banished to a hell that is forgotten from memory. Because He's going to make all things new. Now, you don't want to end up, because you rejected Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't want to end up leaving this life and being banished to an eternity apart from God when you have the opportunity, because Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to pay your sin debt and offers you free salvation. Did you hear me? Free salvation. Free. If you'll come confessing your sinners, your sinful state to Christ and repenting and turning to Jesus, God says, here's the free salvation, and I'm going to give you now a new name and a new song and a new commandment and a new make you a new creature and give you a new man, a new nature inside. And then one of these days, I'm going to take you to a place where I'm going to live with you, and I'm going to take away all forms of death and crying and pain and sorrow, and I'm going to make all things new. All of that is for the asking. All of that is for the taking in Jesus Christ as your Savior. How could you say no to that? What a foolish thing. So if you're not saved, man alive, the most important question is, when are you going to get saved? And what's wrong with today? Say, well, I'll get saved when I'm ready. No, you'll get saved when God's ready. And if your heart is thumping right now, and you say, oh my goodness, I do not want to end up in that place called hell apart from God for all of eternity and miss being with God and miss no more death and no more crying and no more pain and no more sorrow and miss all things new. If your heart is pounding this morning and the Spirit of God is saying, hey, are you listening to that pastor? Are you listening to the book of God? Then you know what that is? That's the Spirit of God inviting you to come to Christ. And you ought to come to Christ and do it this morning, because you have no guarantee that the Spirit of God is going to knock on your heart next Sunday. And if you are saved, I don't care how bad it gets right now. And I don't mean I don't care in the sense that I don't feel for you. I feel for Marty and Maude. My heart was heavy. I wept for them and with them. When I say I don't care, I don't matter, folks, no matter how heavy the load gets, no matter how hard the burden is to bear, the best is yet to come for the child of God. When you got saved, you did the best thing you could ever done for yourself. Because God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And He said, write it down, and I'll sign my name to it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you for listening together today.